Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. All of it brought to you by, you know what? I gave a non-winning ticket to my former guest. I have a stack of tickets here. I'll be giving these away here today at Captain Larry's, tomorrow at Fadley's on Friday, on draft weekend. And then next week, we're going to be on Thursday in Middle River at McFalls. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. The second I can get my instant lottery scratch-offs together, and our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, bringing it together. And you know, I'm a Captain Larry's. I've been trying to get this thing together for weeks and months, and I thought, who can I bring down to Federal Hill who is familiar with the city, knows the city, somebody I really wanted to have on the show, somebody that's been doing some traveling. And I was sitting on the beach in Wailea on Monday morning in Maui, and I'm like, who do I want to have on the show? And I'm thinking, I need to have Shannon on the show. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have Shannon Toback on the show to talk about her Patagonian adventures and backpacking and all this stuff. Yeah. But then I realized, like, you're a veteran on my show.
Yeah.
Like, you've been coming on my show for, I mean, how many times did you drive food from the Rusty Scupper with Alyssa out to the studio only to be flirted with by me? I wasn't even married. That's how long ago this was.
Yeah.
Turn of the century. When was that?
That was sometime in between the years of 2004 and 2009, because that's when I was there.
Every Friday, you brought me scallops and crab cakes and fish, and all the producers would fight over the food, right?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it was like, but we had so much fun doing it. We had a blast.
We got to know each other.
Yeah, we got to know each other. I looked forward to it all the time. And I think I told you, I just had a listing on Hart Road,
where my radio station. Absolutely, I saw. I drove by and I saw your name, and I said, I got to get her on the show.
Yeah.
So I hit you on Monday from Maui, and you're probably like, me? Why me? And I'm like, because you know things, and you go places, and you do things.
Yeah.
And more than that, I know you from this sort of neighborhood. I mean, I know you from Rusty Scupper.
Yeah.
I know you from being over at Rye at Baltimore Peninsula.
At the Baltimore Peninsula.
I wouldn't want to get the name wrong and call it Port Covington or anything like that. But your background is in hospitality and restaurants, and it seemed like a perfect opportunity to talk a little real estate, as well as love of the city, because as much as Chris is pimping the city, and I'm pimping the city at Baltimore Positive, you pimp the city every day too.
I do. I love it. I live in the city. I work in the city. I love the city. It's like a part of me, and it's been a part of me for a really long time. I grew up in Maryland. I grew up in Howard County, and I started working here shortly after college.
You came into the city, as they say.
I did. And then, you know, I worked here, and I just realized, I was like, you know, I'm spending all of my time in the city. So like, I work here, and then on my days off, I come here and I see my friends here and I go out here. So eventually, of course, I moved to the city, and then I bought a house in the city. See, I've done all of the things, and I'm still here, and I love it, and it's amazing.
Well, part of this is being a realtor after being involved with people.
Yes.
You had sort of the change of life thing, and my dear friend Gigi Causey, I call her Papadopoulos, was my guest over at Acostas, and she's doing some Zumba stuff and different things. But the real estate space for so many of my friends who did other things in life, I don't know. I told Chris, when I'm done doing this, I guess I'll be a tourism director, because I like traveling and I like doing that, and so do you.
Yeah.
But the thing about people and real estate, what was that connection when you left the restaurant industry?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I didn't intend to leave hospitality and the restaurant world. It was not something that I had necessarily planned. COVID threw a little little wrench in my career and my plans. Not that I had too many, but I really did love
changed
hospitality.
Your hustle.
It did. I did, and I loved what I did, and I didn't have any intentions of leaving. But all of a sudden, one day I was like, "This is my career," and the next day I was like, "Oh, there's a lot of question marks around this." So I was like, "You know what? What better time though to explore something that's different than I've ever done?" And so real estate felt natural for me. I have family that has worked in the business. My uncle's an appraiser.
I might need your uncle.
You just let me know. But yeah, we have, he's kind of been in my ear the whole time. And I had, you know, been involved in my own real estate transactions and kind of just like had this desire. I just was like, Can I do it? I want to do it. And I was like,
I took a real estate class. I took at Dundalk Community College.
Yeah.
In 1987, 88, that was a fallback for me.
Sure.
Before I had a radio career, when I was a journalist. I mean, that newspaper job was going to be for life, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, my dad believed that back in 1987. But for me, I went and took the classes and I learned about all, I've forgotten so much 35 years later, but yeah. about the law at the time. And I took the state test. I failed it. And then I took it again and passed. You had to get a 70. I got like a 69 or something like that. Yeah. And then I went back and I got a 78 or 80, whatever it was. But I literally went to the front door of getting, I've never admitted this on the air. I don't think I've ever told anybody this. Literally. I went to the front door of getting a license when I worked at the paper. And I was covering the skipjacks, 1988, 89.
Yeah.
I was 20, 21 years old.
Okay.
And I thought, why it's not? An open door. It's a, it's sure. something that could be there. I haven't thought about that in 30. I mean, I've, if this whole thing all fell apart, I don't know that I'd be a realtor. I think your job's really tough.
It's incredibly hard. And I will be honest, that test that they make you take and the class and the course that they make
they
you take.
They don't really prepare which I still you for have, anything. It's like taking a driving test and there's nothing about driving.
It is literally like, I couldn't tell you what I learned in that class and nothing applies to like actually being a realtor. Like, so what I have really, like you learn along the way, you know, and you learn along the way, like how to generate business, how to grow your business, how to run your business. And at the end of the day, like, you know, I run my business different than another realtor might because it's my business and I can do it however I want. And I can do it how, like what works best for me, you know? And
which is an amazing thing. I sold my place last year, like videos and the ability to sell a home is very, very, there's so many possibilities now.
Yeah.
And you should just be, well, you put a sign out in front.
Yeah.
Right. And you make a listing, right? It's way more than that.
It's a lot different. And it's also like navigating the different markets. I mean, I'm still what I consider a newbie in this industry. Like I've got, it'll be 3 years in August. And you know, there's a lot of agents out there who have years and, you know, 20, 30 years in this business and they've seen lots of different markets. Just in my 2.5, 3 years, I've seen different markets.
Five markets.
Yeah. I mean, and it's been, and every time that something changes with the market, I have to like relearn like how to work with my buyers in that market, how to work with my sellers in that market, how to ease their concerns, ease their hesitations, and help them, like guide them along whatever their journey is and whatever it is that they need. And it's ever changing.
Well, one percentage point changes a lot for a lot of people.
It does.
Economically.
It does. It does. And, you know, it's hard because if you, for example, have been a buyer that has been, say, searching for a home for a year, well, a year ago, interest rates were at 3%. And then all of a sudden, if you haven't found your property and now you see, oh, interest rates are at 6%, well, you have lost some buying power. And now we need to figure out how to work through that. Like, do you have more money? Do you want to spend more money or do you not? And are you okay with
see,
what your money
see, we could have bought 15 months ago when I
you.
Left.
Yeah.
And I have no regrets because we just didn't want to own again.
Sure.
We just did not want to make a 10. We didn't know. We want to live there for 10 years or live there for, because I'm old enough to know like what feels good for 5 minutes, the new car smell goes away.
Yeah.
Right. And we didn't have a permanent thing. So we weren't able to take advantage of that. And now that I look at it 15 months later, if I were to come to you or Gigi or Greg Zapanik, any of my friends that do realty, you know, we would be in a totally different economic circumstance for what we could have bought last year, for what we could buy this year. And we're qualified and, you know, could pay the mortgage.
Sure.
We just didn't want to dive into Catonsville or into downtown or into Towson or into anywhere from a buying perspective. And I'm 55.
Yeah.
And that's not frightening. It's liberating for me. I just got rid of a place I was stuck in for 5, 6 years longer than I wanted to be.
Yeah.
At a very high ticket.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, and this is what I tell all of my clients, buyers, sellers, whatever. The right time to buy is whenever the right time is for you to buy. And or the right time to sell is whenever the right time is for you to sell, right? So like real estate, like people are always moving. Like it's based on, sometimes it's based on financial decisions, but a lot of times it's just based on life. Like you're moving, you're ready to experience something new. You don't want to live in the same neighborhood. You need a bigger yard. You need a smaller space. Like there's so many
reasons. But if you're
going
to come to you and do all of that, you better think of that's Pleasantville for a good period of time. You don't buy just to buy.
No, but here's the thing. Real estate investing is another world. And, you know, I tell a lot of my buyers and a lot of people, like, here's the thing. You can buy the property and you can think of it as like, I'm going to be committed to this property. I'm going to live in this property for the next 10 years. Or you could think, hey, I'm going to live in this property for the next few years. And I don't know what's going to happen in my world or in my life. But I know that if I decide to move or if I decide to leave, that I can potentially rent it out or I could sell it at that time. I can take whatever equity I have out. Either way, like it's going to be a decision that is not necessarily a bad decision. Like, even if you buy right now, right? Like, prices are high. Like, if you own that property for 20 years, whether or not you live in it or not, you're still in the positive. I'll give you an example. So I bought my first house when I was 24 years old.
Okay. I was 18 when I bought my first house.
Amazing. Amazing.
I bought it for $48,000 at 428 Kane Street. I sold it for $46,000 20 years later.
Okay.
That's not good. That's not good. That's not good at all.
But it was paid off. Was it paid off?
No. Well, mostly. I mean, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But my point was my percentage was 8.75%.
Yeah.
8.75%.
Right. That's so compare that to like the 6% now, right?
And my monthly payment was only like $420 a month. Right. It's like something I could afford.
So when I bought my first house, like I was determined to buy a house by the time I turned 25. That was just the goal. It didn't matter. Well, now I'm going to age myself, but this was in 2005, not exactly the best time to buy a property, but I didn't care because I just needed to buy a house. And so it basically took a loan out, and it was a 5-year interest only ARM at like 8%, like Ooh. Something crazy. Interest only. I didn't even understand what that meant. Obviously I get it now, but you know, so for 5 years, I just gave someone a whole lot of money. Gave the bank money, and I didn't pay anything down. So I refied after my 5 years, got into a better loan. Anyway, I still own that property. I have had a tenant in that property for coming up on 9 years. I'm cash flow positive, paid down the equity. I get a tax benefit on it. So for me, even though it was a horrible loan and I didn't touch the principal payment on that house for 5 years, that house is a massive investment for me now. So I'm just saying that, like, just because like you, whatever, interest rates are high or prices are higher, like whatever, Typically, it can work out in your favor.
Well, I like to think we've lived through the hardest times other than war. We've had plague.
Yeah. Well,
And people roll their eyes and laugh. I'm like, my ass was stuck in a house for 6 months. Like, I remember this like it was yesterday. It was 3 years ago. Yeah. As we move further away from that, people like you, new career, right?
Yeah.
Lots of things about life change because of that.
Yeah.
And anything that you had planned in 16, 17, 18, hey, things changed the day my wife got cancer, right? We had plans and then life happens.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that made us feel a little bit skittish about, do we really want to live somewhere for 10? Do we have the place that we want to be? We didn't.
Yeah.
And therefore we didn't buy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a good decision. Even though 3% was there,
At the end of the day, like it has to be the right decision for you and your life and your surroundings. And if it's not right, then by all means rent, you know, you rent. And if you decide tomorrow that you want to buy, then you call me and then we find you a house.
Shannon Tobeck is here. She is a local realtor. I wore my queen belt buckle, my Pacifica queen, because you're the queen.
Thank you.
She used to come to the station and hang out with me when she worked at the Rusty Scupper on Fridays and brought us delicious food. Of it's brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. This is yours. I don't know if it's a good one or a bad one. I don't control the winners. I just hand the tickets out. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. At some point, I'll get to use my Raskin Global crab mallet. I'm going to go to Costa soon and bang on it and open beer here. Mr. Costas will let me open my beer at the bar with that. I wanted you on for real estate, but I also wanted you on for like the Baltimore part of what you love about the city.
Yeah.
And because you're even though you have a place in Towson, I know you still live and make the city your home. What do you love about Baltimore these days?
Oh, geez. What do I love about Baltimore?
When somebody says, I want to buy a house in the city, what do you say are the good things about the city?
I get excited about that. Like I said, I live in the city. I'm over in right in between Canton and Fells. And
party time! Woohoo!
That's right. But here's the cool thing. I don't do that much partying anymore, but I have my moments. But the water is great, right? Like for me, I like, you know, look, I take my dogs out. We walk along the water. We go down the Canton Waterfront Park, or we go to Patterson Park. We walk around the park. Like these are just like chill things. And there's a lot of like Bark Social is over in Canton. I take the dog. Clearly I love my dogs, but we spent a lot of time there.
Well, my wife and I were going to move last year. She paddleboards.
Oh yeah.
So she's paddleboarded in front of the harbor,
in
right?
The harbor, with, yeah.
Right.
Be more SUP.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I,
for sure.
I know her well as well.
Yeah.
Making
great.
Babies, Jesse.
Yes. Jesse's
so the paddleboard, we saw the paddleboard thing in Hawaii. Yeah. When it came time to move, we looked at a little rental place down off Fort Smallwood Road and one of the little tributaries down there.
Sure, there
was a little house, cute little rental place that was a block and a half away from where my wife could paddleboard.
Yeah.
Right? So like, that matters. Things like that, like what you're... We moved into the city because I covered the Orioles before Angelos threw me out in 06.
Yeah.
This is 03.
Yeah.
The Orioles, the Harbor, concerts, Pier 6, near the airport. We had our reasons and things that we wanted to do. But the city offers so many of... You just mentioned one thing, water and my dogs in a park. Great. But
which are all things that I just randomly do like on any given day. But you're right. I mean, like I've been to 4 Orioles games this year already, and we're only a few weeks into the season,
right,
which I think is actually more games than I've probably been to in the last like 3 years
combined.
Well,
let's hope there's more people that have that experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and I've had such a blast going to all of those games. Like they're
winning.
They're winning. They are so fun to watch right now. I'm like, I want to go tonight. Or can we go back tonight?
See, you wonder why I bring her on and call her the queen, right? I didn't want to talk baseball. We should talk baseball.
I know. I'm sorry.
You got a favorite Oriole? You got a cute one yet or no? You're getting old for that, right?
You know, they're
you're still
a
stuck
young
on Brady,
for me.
Right? You're still stuck on Brady. Yeah.
You know, they are a little young for me now. I mean, they're cute, but they're young. No, I wouldn't say. I think they're all super fun. I will say this is not because I think that it's attractive necessarily, but I really enjoy watching Yennier Cano.
Okay.
The pitcher, the relief pitcher, he's like, I guess they call him the Rock now is what I heard. So, but he's super
fun to watch. I'm a Mateo guy myself, you know,
I mean, look, I really enjoy them all. Like they all have their different personalities and I feel like it takes me back to like the old school O's. Like when I used to watch
them. It makes you
want to
root for them every night.
I mean, I couldn't, the last few years, like I didn't even know the lineup, but now I'm like, oh, I know everyone and I know how they're hitting and I know how they're playing and it's super fun again. But anyway, but aside from
the
Orioles,
it's almost like you're coming in from Rusty Scupper back in the old days. And I'm forcing you to talk about the football game this week.
I mean, well, there's nothing to talk about there yet, but,
I'll get to her Lamar thoughts momentarily because she's got some, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Aside from that, like the food and beverage scene in Baltimore, this is where it's different than 15 years ago or however many years ago that was, is like the food and beverage scene is like a thing now in this city.
Foodies.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like there are amazing restaurants in this city that like you can really have a top-notch experience. I mean, how many James Beard, you know, nominations did we get? You know, Ekibon.
I was afraid they were going to wreck Ekibon before I get Steve Shaw on. So, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, has he been on yet?
No, he's avoiding me.
Oh,
anybody
geez.
See Steve? Tell him he's ducking me. And he didn't duck James Beard, but he's ducking me.
They're
I saw him at
awesome.
The Baltimore Magazine. I had never met him, and I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I would tell you that I walked in here with banana bread from Leota's. I still have the box. Oh, here it is right here. Leota's. This is a free plug for a place 10,000 miles away. Leota's Kitchen and Pie Shop in Olawalu. The best coconut cream pie.
Oh.
I mean, the thing was like sex in a dish. It was insane. But I've had such good food lately.
Yeah.
But the foodie part of Googling a place and finding a place. And I found the place. It's a fish shop in Maui. And I even said, this is sort of like the Ekibon of, you know, that it's its own thing. You can't even sit in there and eat.
Yeah.
But it's so good. And the
it's
broccoli
packed.
Tempura.
Yeah.
When people come to town, I take them usually to Amici's because I love Amici's and they're my people.
Sure.
But I would tell anybody, if you haven't had the broccoli tempura at Ekibon, it's just go spend $12 and go get it and put it in your mouth and eat it.
So, and you have to do it right away. Like you can't like
right away.
It
eat it in the car. Like eat it out of the box in the car.
Or like walk outside of the door. Like
eat
it outside.
It's tempura.
It's
you don't
delicious.
Take it home.
Yeah,
you know
no,
at all.
You got to eat it right away.
But there are things like that that I would say. Well, that was something that didn't exist 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I could send you to a dozen places with amazing crab cakes. I'm here at Captain Larry's today. I'm about to have another one.
Yeah.
But the experience of Mexican food or the experience of tacos or the experience of just going up and down Eastern Avenue in Highland Town and trying places.
Yeah.
When my wife and I lived in the city, this is what we did. We'd be like, we're on a taco hunt today.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to 5 places we've never walked in and just get one taco and see whether we like, you know, al carbon.
Yeah.
You know?
And like now you can do that. And there's so many like more places that are serving really delicious stuff. And there probably were back then too. It just, I feel like it wasn't as
But when I see an Oven Bird Bakery pop up, and I've had him on the program too, right? And they're making these Morning Glory muffins and this incredible panettone at the holidays.
Yeah.
These are the things I've been bringing on the Crab Cake Tour that really were an extension of you bringing in scallops from Rusty Scupper and me saying, damn, these are good. Why does my mom make them to taste this good? You know?
Right,
little raisins in there. Yeah. Couscous. Nice.
Exactly.
See, I remember.
Oven Bird is great.
I'm skinny, but I eat a lot. You know, I really do.
I do too. But I work out, so it's fine. We'll lift all the weights.
We'll get to your muscle thing in a moment. But for the foodie part of this and where the Scupper was, and no disrespect to any of the Roots Chris or Morton's or Cap Grill, where I know you and Alyssa's there. Hi, Alyssa. Hi, Nate. Bring me some beer, dude. You know, those kinds of places and the harbor and what that represented, the Cheesecake Factory and those things.
Yeah.
Even when ESPN Zone came into different places. To me, Baltimore is Captain Larry's and LP Steamers and Ekeban and Amici's.
Yes.
And no offense to, you know, any of the Atlas guys, and I've done their crab cakes and stuff. And they're a little big engine, I guess, is what they are.
Yeah.
But these small places where you could say, I know the owner, I know Mara's going to be here, I know who's going to be behind the bar.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things. Not touristy for the Rusty Scupper, and again, nothing against that.
No.
But
it's
small
different
places and family owned places that I'm a small AM radio station, local. I want to shop here. That's what I want. And Baltimore offers so much of that.
They do. I mean, my favorite restaurants are not big restaurants, you know, and
Sobo Cafe. I want to give a shout out to Anna. I had her on the show. But this is the best part of this is I can go get Steve at Ekeban and try to drag him onto the show or call Mar and say, I want to come down and eat your crab cake and tell your story.
Yeah.
Because every one of these people,
they have a story.
They have a story.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, I'll be honest. My two favorite restaurants are both in Fells Point. The Thames Street Oyster House, who, by the way, has a fabulous crab cake.
Everybody tells me the lobster roll there is the jam.
The lobster roll is definitely the jam, but they make a really fantastic... first of all...
I'm ready to do a crab cake tour stop at Thames Street Oyster House.
I'm not sure.
I'll call it by its right. Thames! It's Thames Street! Thames. You from London?
It's Thames Street. I've never actually had a bad thing there, but they do a great job. Their food is consistent. And they're one of those places where, like, you know, sometimes you go to places and you get the same thing every time because you just know it's going to be good. People do that a lot, I think, with the Oyster House. They get the lobster roll because they're like, oh my God, I'm at the Oyster House.
That's what I feel like I'd have to get when I went there.
Maybe. I guess I go there maybe often enough that I get something different every time I go. I have my favorites, but I do get something different every time I go. And they do have a really fabulous crab cake.
I've never eaten it. I've never eaten there.
Okay. You've never eaten there?
I can't eat everywhere. I'm skinny.
Oh my gosh.
I have clients and sponsors and I go to my places.
I mean, I feel like,
sometimes I actually, the reason we moved out of the city, people are like, hey, you run for mayor, you're in the city. My wife and I had never had a grill.
Yeah.
We lived downtown for all of our marriage. We didn't have a deck.
Yeah.
We didn't have any outdoor space.
Yeah.
After 19 years, all we had were windows.
Yeah.
My cat had never seen a bird. Like, literally, my cat had never seen another moving creature that wasn't a ladybug or a bee.
Oh, geez.
Literally.
Yeah.
So the grilling out part and eating out part, I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
And taking some steaks from Wise Markets and popping them on the grill. So we eat at home a little bit.
Yeah.
But I come out and do these two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Give me your second place. You had another place because you're...
Peter's Inn.
Really?
Yeah.
Haven't been there. Let's go.
Two spots that you haven't been to.
I'm 0 for 2.
These are literally my two favorite restaurants in the city.
What am I getting
Inn,
there?
What's that?
What am I getting at Peter's?
So Peter's Inn, you are definitely getting their garlic bread.
Okay.
They're known for the garlic bread.
Okay.
So Karen and Bud own Peter's Inn. It's fabulous.
It's not a great date thing if you're going out with Shannon. The garlic bread,
I mean, unless you do it together.
Okay, fair enough.
The piece of garlic bread is like a big hunk of garlic bread. So you can share it. You can definitely share it. Aside from that, so their menu changes weekly. It's a handwritten menu. They get all of their produce, all of their meats and everything from like farmers market and local purveyors. They put a lot of effort into like making sure the quality of their food is really top notch. Now, the cool thing is that if you walk by Peter's Inn, if you glance inside, it's an old biker bar. So it's like super tiny. I mean, it's like the size of like
I know
like
what
this.
It is and
yeah,
where it
it's
is.
It's super tiny. It's just, it's a really cool environment. Like I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just a really cool.
Hearing people's favorite places and recommendations.
Yeah, I was just there. I was just there on Saturday. They were only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I was just there on Saturday. Had a fabulous meal. They do take reservations. I think you have to email them, but yeah.
All right, well, find that out, Shannon. Talk about here. She's a real. Tell everybody how to find you in the real estate space, other than out on Hart Road with a sign.
Yeah, exactly. So the easiest way probably is Instagram. Instagram handle is Tobacks. TOBACKS. Or you can find me on Facebook.
Or at the gym. You're back in a gym. What's up?
I've always been in the gym. I've never left the gym.
Okay.
Yeah, I train in Olympic weightlifting. Doesn't mean I'm going to the Olympics. It is, by definition, the...
It helped you carry the backpack through southern Argentina, though.
It did. Well, Chile, but yes.
Chile.
Yes,
oh, yes. You were on the Chile side.
I was on the Chile side. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we did the O Circuit in the Torre del Paine National Park, which is in Patagonia. It's like almost as far south as you can really
My
get.
My dude Jason Seamer was on the Argentina side.
Okay, all right.
Right a couple weeks before you,
it's
taking pictures.
It's not far from there, yeah. Oh, my God. It was.
Well, all of your experiences look the same. It looked like the same place. It's the same area.
It is the same area, yeah. Argentina and Chile, like it's all Patagonia. It's the
same
region.
I've been to
region.
Argentina. I've never been to Chile, and my wife and I, it's a really big joke between us. It's like it's a friction thing for us. We were in Buenos Aires in March of 06. We flew to Rio to see the Rolling Stones to kick off Carnival.
Amazing.
We went from there to São Paulo to see U2. And they played the National Stadium in São Paulo, 150,000 people.
Yeah.
And then we flew down to Buenos Aires to see the Stones again. And they played the River Plate. River Plate is what it would say, right? Yeah. We're in Buenos Aires, and U2 was playing in Chile, in Santiago. Oh. And Journey and Bryan Adams were playing up in the wine country, Vino del Mar.
Okay.
Vino del Mar is a beautiful, it's their wine country in Chile. I'm at the airport with all my bags in Buenos Aires, and I went up to the United counter. And this is my wife and I were newlyweds for 3 years in our marriage. I'm running a company, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was going to cost like maybe $600, $700, $800. It was a reasonable amount of money to change the flight to go over to Chile and spend 4 more days.
Yeah.
And then go home.
Yeah.
We didn't have a cat. We didn't have anything. We didn't have responsibilities. And she was a little tuckered out. She's like, nah, I'm ready to go home. I'm like, it's Chile.
Yeah.
It's just over there. I mean, we're here. We got to go there. And we didn't go. So now anytime we eat a bowl of chili or chili's on the restaurant menu or I have you on the show and I'll go home and I say, hey, it turns out Shannon didn't go to Argentina. She went to Chile. I've never been there. And so I give her a really hard time about not going to Chile. Yeah.
Well,
then the earthquake happened. She said, "See, that's why we don't want to go there." You know. So.
Well, it's an amazingly beautiful place. I highly suggest it, and the experience that I had was pretty amazing.
Habla español un poquito.
Poquito.
Yeah. Okay. Más
but
o menos.
You know what? I should have. I'm going to say this in English. I should have brushed up on it a little more.
Would have helped you.
Than I did. It definitely would have helped me.
When I went to Brazil, I speak enough Spanish to be dangerous in a place like Argentina. I'm not fluent by any stretch, but I was raised gringo in a Spanish household.
Okay.
My gringo parents didn't want me to speak Spanish because, you know, it was Archie Bunker's Dundalk in 1977, okay? So it is what it is. That's why I'm not fluent, but I'm close enough to be able to get what I need when I need it.
Yeah.
And everybody told me, you go to Brazil, Portuguese, Spanish, they're close.
Yeah.
They're not close. Yeah. There's nobody in Brazil understood a word I said in Spanish. And my Spanish doesn't stink. It's good enough to donde está el baño and they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Then Portuguese and Spanish, not nearly as close.
Yeah.
But it would have helped you. So you did a backpacking thing like...
I did.
In one of the most beautiful, rugged... remote parts of the world that's available to do.
Yes.
That's not like snowy or whatever, but you did seasons. You had some seasons there.
Oh,
right?
We had seasons. We had seasons throughout the same day.
Right.
I mean, there was...
that in southern New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
I've done the fjords and the sounds.
Yeah.
Doubtful sound. Google the bottom of the South Island of New Zealand. I've been there.
Okay.
And we had four seasons.
Yeah.
We also had dolphins, whales.
Yes.
All of
that's amazing. So yeah, we had, I mean, it was extreme weather, extreme conditions. We were, camping out at night. It was 80 plus miles over essentially 9 days of hiking.
Glad you lifted all those weights.
So, yes. I actually, I mean, I, you know, I'm in decent shape, but I was a little bit nervous just because like the hiking and the cardio and all of that is not something that I really do every day, but I got out there and I was totally fine. I was like, I mean, you know,
did 80 miles of hiking.
Yes.
I think. With a backpack.
With like a 20-pound pack. Yeah.
Over how many days?
9.
So you did almost 8-10 miles a day.
Ish. It worked. Yeah.
Up and down mountains in mountain shoes.
Undulating. Undulating was the word of the trip because our guide would just be like, we're undulating today, just constantly up. There was nothing that was flat. So we were either literally climbing or we were coming down, you know, whatever was steep, which, you know, the decline is actually, in my opinion, harder than the incline.
With a backpack on, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, because it's just like all of like the force and everything.
And if it's windy coming down, you're...
And it's windy everywhere. So, but it was amazing. And you know, the experience that I had was, I try and explain it to people and there's no way to even put it into words, but it was just massive.
I admire it anytime any of my friends do these things. And it makes me want to bring them on the show and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because like, there aren't many people that get a chance to do that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like travel... There's travel for vacation, which is just like, all right, I'm going to go like, yeah, it sounds like it. I'm going to go lay on a beach, right? And just chill for like how long.
And eat coconut cream pie and banana bread every day and drink a lot of beer. And
there absolutely is a place for that. But in my world, like more of what I really enjoy is like travel for adventure.
I like cities.
Adventure. Yeah.
I don't want mountains. I don't want to die on a cold hill and get eaten by wolves. That's my wife's into that.
Yeah.
So she's going hiking in Asheville, North Carolina with her family. And you know, that's her thing.
Yeah.
And like, nah, I put me at the Holiday Inn and put me downtown and I'm good. You know?
And like, that's okay. Like, as long as you recognize
I'm
like,
a city walker.
What you need, like, that's fine. You know, I recognize that I just need all of the adventure. I love the nature part of it. I love the difficult part of it. I love the physical part of it. But here's the thing. Like, I booked all of that and I traveled by myself. I met a group of people that I didn't know there to do the hike. We did the hike. And then after, I had very strategically booked 2 nights in Puerto Varas in Chile, which is basically in between Santiago and where we were in this little like lakeside town.
It's summer
like
there.
A fancy hotel. It was going into fall.
Okay.
So it was like
August-ish,
getting cooler.
Right.
Yeah, August, September-ish. Yeah, so it was getting cooler. Anyway, but I booked 2 nights at this fancy hotel in this, you know, place, Puerto Varas. And I just totally unwound and did nothing for 2 days. And I need that just as much as I need all of the adventure.
But you didn't do Buenos Aires. You didn't go to Rio. You didn't do anything sexy. You didn't go to San Diego. You just did the woods.
I mean, I would argue that what I did was sexy.
Right on.
But no, I didn't do any of that. Mainly because the trip already was 2.5 weeks. Because, I mean, just getting there, traveling to there, traveling back. I spent 2 days where we were meeting up with the group in Punta Arenas. And then I spent, like I said, 2 days after
and you didn't sleep anywhere normal. It was all tents, right?
It was majority. It was tents.
Are there
like,
towns there or no?
No,
no. There's no towns.
No, you're literally in the wilderness.
Yeah,
so
right.
Like, so there's no. We were in tents. Basically, the first, like I said, it was 9. It was 11 total days with the group, 9 days of hiking. The first 4 days were tents, and then we gradually got better in accommodations into what is called refugios, which are essentially like dorms. Like,
okay.
They were like bunk bed rooms.
Huts?
Kind of. Like, they had small rooms with, there was be like 4 or 6 people in them, in like bunk beds. Like,
but it's not a tent. It's a place to sleep.
That, correct. That right. Was like a building.
Right. Okay.
But the first four, like the first night was actually, first of all, we had hiked in like 9 miles of just rain. Like, all of our rain gear got tested.
At the
like,
bottom
we
of the world.
Knew what rain
see,
gear...
See, this sounds like hell to me. This doesn't sound like Argentina or
no,
Chile.
It was
it's
great,
not the Chile
though.
I was going for. The
but
Chile
was
I was going for was, like, some seafood and some wine and
yeah,
some
I mean,
YouTube.
But they have that,
maybe
too.
Maybe an earthquake, something
here's
like that.
Here's the thing, but we finished that day, and it was pouring, and it's wet and cold, and the tents were, like, little and tiny and whatever. But then we went to eat, and we're in this, like, I don't know, we'll call it a mess hall, whatever. And they were selling, they had beer and they had boxes of wine. El Gato was the name of the wine. And it was literally like this like box. It was like, you know,
you
the big
boxes. You
can't
be getting fumed up out there. You gotta walk 10 miles with a backpack next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, but like, I mean, to have a couple glasses of wine with the meal that we were having, look, it
you
was
probably
like,
needed a sativa more that, than you needed a glass of wine at that point. I mean, come on.
Maybe, but the glass of wine was helpful. And at all that right. point in time, we were, you know, look, we were just going to sleep and then getting up and doing it all over again the next day. It was amazing.
10 days in the jungle. Shannon Toback. Do you wonder why I bring these guests on? I met her at the Rusty Scupper 20 years ago, bringing me food out. She is a realtor in not just Towson, downtown and around,
everywhere.
But loves the city and loves the Orioles. Anything you want to say on Lamar, I'm just going to give you the... before I show you the gate here on the program, anything you got on Lamar or no?
Just man, let's just get the deal done. Can we just be in Baltimore? Like we're giving him what he
You're going to be wealthy or wealthier either way. Go play football.
I mean, like, let's just go play football. Like, dude, just take guidance from people who know what they're talking about. That's my
You wouldn't buy a house without a realtor. Why would you negotiate an NFL contract?
Exactly. I mean, like, would you do your own, like, dental work? No, you go to a dentist. You go to a specialist for these things.
The amazing part for him, and I've said this out loud many times, and I'll continue to say this, he didn't get representation because he didn't want to get ripped off. I'm not going to hire Shannon to be my realtor because she might rip me off. A realtor might rip me off. Great. Okay. So I don't hire one and then you get ripped off anyway because you didn't have one.
Right.
So
because you don't know
Bisciotti
what you're doing.
And DaCosta have already, they're $25 million. They have his money that he should have gotten last year had he had anyone negotiate for him. That he would have that money in the bank. It's unfathomable. But here we are and it's created... incredible havoc for the franchise in the offseason. Even if it winds up happy ending and they wind up winning next year and they wind up trading for DeAndre, whatever they wind up doing.
But it's still a little tainted at this point, you know? Like the whole experience.
Asking out makes it tough for any of us to say.
To get on board.
Yeah. You know, if you ask out. You don't need to be on Twitter asking out in a trade.
Right.
Do your business behind. But that's part of having an agent too. An agent's going to do business behind closed doors, not out.
Because the thing about Baltimore is that like, you know, we have loyal fans. You know this.
I know this.
And, you know, our fans are, they are going to support the guy that is loyal. And so even if that's not the best player, they're going to support the non-best player who's loyal to the team and to the city and to like what we're, you know, we're pouring into you, pour into us, you know? And it.
Same thing I ask of the ownership as well, by the way. That's my eternal, you know, screed on that.
I get it.
All right, well, listen, tell me how to find you again on your Instagram.
Yeah.
If you need a realtor, Shannon's a great person. She can help you out. I have other friends that are realtors. I try to bring them all on, talk about the state of, because it's the biggest investment you're going to make.
It is.
It was a terrible black hole for me over 20 years from an investment standpoint, but also understanding that I got to dust off, right? I'm going to buy again at some point.
Yeah.
It's just not right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And
but when
okay.
I do, I need someone like you. I need someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You can find me on Instagram, Toback, Tobacks, or on Facebook, Shannon Toback. That's the best way to probably get me. I'm around. I am a solo agent. I work by myself, but have a massive team of people if I need it. And I work just about everywhere in Maryland. Of course, my focus is kind of the city. I grew up in Howard County. I do work the beaches, and I'm licensed in Delaware as well.
All right. Well, if you need to go to Patagonia, she will
also
give you recommendations. You already talked me out of it. The cold, wet day.
Okay, then don't go. if you're not, if that's not your thing, then don't go. You can just go to Chile and let your wife go.
And eat Chile.
Yeah.
Go to Vino del Mar and drink vino.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the wine is delicious.
It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. You want to wear the funny hat? This is the funny floppy hat. The Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free. I'll let you hit the Raskin Global beer gavel here as well. The Maryland Lottery has put us out on the road. We're here at Captain Larry's today. We are in beautiful Federal Hill. We're on Ford Avenue. I passed this place 100 times. I've been in it a couple times. Had some beer. My wife always loved the Narragansett sign because she's from New Hampshire, New England. So they have a New England. I always thought it was like a Red Sox joint, but it's not. It's total Baltimore joint.
Yeah.
Crab cakes. Chris Pica has highly recommended the crab cake here, and he lives down the street. I've also had other friends, Victoria August, the purple-orange fangirl, who cannot be with us because she's preparing her liver for a weekend in New Orleans. I'm sure we're all familiar with that, so we'll get her on at some point. Maryland Lottery sends us out for all this. We're at Captain Larry's today. We're going to be back at Fadley's on Friday morning, and then next week out in the county in Middle River, we're going to be at McFall's, the new McFall's, down on the water in Middle River, down past Pizza John's, back Riverneck Road. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We got scratch-offs. John Martin did the show. We have a draft going on. We have a baseball season in progress. And I am back from Maui. Free plug for Leotis. Sang coconut custard pie. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.